As you know, we have spent the last year, since January, on an election road trip. We've been traveling to different states across the country, talking to voters, lawmakers, and others, and also telling stories that have nothing to do with the presidential race. Well, now that the election is almost here, we want to take a listen back to some of the voices that stuck with us. Starting in New Hampshire. Feels so long ago at this point, but if you can remember back, Donald Trump had just lost the Iowa caucuses, and on the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton won them just barely. So New Hampshire's first-in-the-nation primary mattered, as it always does. On the campus of Dartmouth College, we heard from students, including Tara Gallagher.
I'm going to vote for Bernie Sanders.
Really? What do you like about him?
Well, he's definitely the most authentic politician I've ever come across, and I'm from Burlington, so...
So he's your hometown guy.
Hometown hero, yeah.
What's the most important issue to you?
I think the wealth inequality, probably.
As in many states, Hillary Clinton had the support of the political class. In New Hampshire, that meant Senator Jean Shaheen, who we spoke with on a snowy street in Exeter in February, right before the primary.
Well, obviously, I want to see a woman become president. It's the last glass ceiling that hasn't been broken. But I'm not supporting Hillary because she's a woman. And, you know, I never hear any men who are supporting Bernie get asked about whether they're supporting him because he's a man. I'm supporting Hillary because she's the best candidate in this race.
Bernie Sanders eventually won the state with 60% of the vote. On the Republican side, Donald Trump came out on top, and it was on to South Carolina. The crowded field of 17 Republicans had slimmed to six. In Charleston, Republican Congressman Mark Sanford, the former governor, hadn't decided on his candidate. When we spoke with him, he tried to make sense of why Trump was doing so well in the polls with South Carolinians.
The so-called Bible Belt is not only the area wherein there are the most evangelical voters in the state, it's also the old textile belt. And many of those small towns and hamlets where there used to be a textile mill, they up and went. And some of those jobs have been replaced with high-level manufacturing, the likes of BMW and other. But some of those folks never got that job, and they've essentially dropped out. And I would argue that that is a big part of the election. It's not the evangelical vote. It is the textile belt that is driving the Trump phenomenon.
At a Trump rally in Walterboro, South Carolina, we met Joshua Irell, whose voice has stayed with me perhaps more than any other in this campaign. I asked him why he had come to support Trump.
I come here because I'm kind of enthusiastic about what Trump's got to say, how he's going to make this country better. And plus, you know, they closed down the movie theater and the bowl now and everything. And I was trying to maybe see if Trump can probably damn put some money up or something and put some bowling alley, a movie theater, and all this together. And that way kids got somewhere to go instead of just walking around the streets.
Trump eventually won the state, forcing Jeb Bush out of the race. Our next stop was Tennessee for the March 1st primary. It was one of the Super Tuesday states. In Williamson County outside Nashville, there was a dinner sponsored by the local Republican Party. Ben Carson was still in the race, just barely, and he showed up, clearly weighing the difficult decision of whether to abandon his campaign.
The day before yesterday, we had our biggest financial day since the campaign started. And, you know, just to walk away from those people and tell them, I don't care about you, I can't do that.
But don't you have to win a state to keep it going at some point?
Yeah, well, you know, the future will tell you. I don't know what the future is.
Even though Carson was the only candidate to show up at the dinner, he didn't win the straw poll. Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz did. We spoke with one of the Rubio supporters, Ben Schrader.
Cruz is someone who is, frankly, too conservative for me. John Kasich, I like him, but I don't think he can win this year, and I would never vote for Donald Trump.
Why not?
He is a divider. The hateful rhetoric that you hear from Donald Trump is sort of unparalleled, I think, in modern politics. So I just can't imagine someone like that as president.
So what will you do if he's the nominee?
I'll vote for Hillary Clinton.
Nashville is also home to the Southern Baptist Convention and its leader, Russell Moore, one of the most outspoken anti-Trump evangelicals.
It's horrifying that we have a campaign where some of the most vulnerable people in American society are being scapegoated and have some of the most awful things said about them. I think of not only immigrants, but also women and African Americans and the disabled and others. A campaign where we're debating issues that we ought to have a consensus about. Religious liberty and war crimes and torture and those sorts of things.
Many other evangelical leaders stuck by Trump, and he won in Tennessee, as well as six other Super Tuesday states. Cruz won in three states. And we followed Marco Rubio to Florida, where he would make his last stand, and where he's got a lot of support from people like Mayor Eduardo Mujina, who have known him and his wife Jeanette for years.
I don't know if this is true or not, but I think before he wanted to be the president, he wanted to be the Pope. And but then he met Jeanette. Then he met Jeanette, and he had to change his position.
So he hasn't told you that he wants to be Pope if he can't be president.
No, not anymore.
Donald Trump calls Florida his second home, and when we were there, we met Jerry Powers, who used to publish Trump Magazine. He told us about how Trump wanted the flights from Palm Beach to divert around his Mar-a-Lago resort, so he started hiring Powers to have huge parties at Mar-a-Lago that disturbed the neighbors. Powers says Trump told the city, "You stop the flights, I'll stop the parties." I asked Jerry Powers if he'd feel comfortable doing another deal with Trump.
Any day of the week, as long as I didn't have to negotiate with him. Because I'd have to count my fingers at the end of the negotiation to see if I still had five on each hand. And by the way, that's a compliment.
How is that a compliment?
Because I think he's incredible.
We also learned a bit about what Trump does when his deal-making fails. We spoke with Doug Hanks, a reporter for the Miami Herald, about Trump's failed bid to take over the public Crandon golf course. I asked how Trump took the loss when the county commissioner shut him out.
He was pretty gracious about it because there was a time when he came down for a golf event. All the media was there, and you could see it was starting to fall apart. And he started to say, you know, I may go forward, I may not, and was very much sort of a bit of retreat mode rather than doubling down, getting really aggressive, which to me sort of reminded me of what we heard in Iowa when he sort of hit that unexpected bump. He was fairly gracious, a different kind of Trump. On to the next project, on the next deal, New Hampshire, back at it.
Trump didn't have to worry about a loss in Florida. He took the state on primary day, March 15th, and we moved on to Pennsylvania, where Governor Tom Wolf was supporting Hillary Clinton and getting a little anxious about the still contested Democratic primary between Clinton and Sanders.
It's time for us to come together and think more about what unites us rather than what divides us.
So does that mean that he should stay in or he should get out and rally behind Clinton?
Well, I think he has to do what he decides to do, but I think it would be a wonderful thing for the party to say to Secretary Clinton, I'm with you.
We also spoke with Congressman Tom Marino, who chaired Donald Trump's campaign in Pennsylvania. And while some of his Republican colleagues had balked at Trump's calls to ban Muslims from entering the country or references to Mexican immigrants as rapists and murderers, he said this.
That's an issue that we have him working on. He's pivoting more to discussing the issues, being presidential. And I think he can win because of in Pennsylvania, no matter where I go, whether it's Democrats, independents, they want someone who can create jobs, and they do not want anyone that's an establishment. And Hillary Clinton is clearly the quintessential example of the establishment.
That was in April. Both Clinton and Trump won their primaries there, and it's turned into one of the most important states in the general election. Both candidates are there today. As the campaign moved on, we headed west to Oregon, where we met a retired voter who was voting for Trump, not on the issues, but because he liked him so much on The Apprentice. We also met with Senator Jeff Merkley, the only Democratic senator supporting Bernie Sanders. He said he didn't have a problem with Sanders' attacks on Clinton for, among other things, being too cozy with Wall Street.
I think actually by raising these issues that resonate with voters, it's going to increase the energy that's taken into the general election. This does require that both Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders build a bridge towards each other, build a bridge between their campaigns after the California primary, and so we can go into the convention locked arm in arm. But I hope that part of building that bridge will be to have a very strong vision that the winner will advocate for regarding campaign finance reform.
Sanders won Oregon and kept his campaign alive for the big prize, California, on June 7th. In Los Angeles, we spoke with HBO's Bill Maher, a vocal Sanders supporter. We asked if he could get behind the Clinton campaign enthusiastically in the general election.
The phrase, "ready for Hillary," was the most accurate, honest political phrase slogan I've ever heard, because it completely sums up how I feel about her. Are you ready for Hillary? Yes, I'm ready. It's like getting a shot.
Right.
I'm ready.
That's what you said, right?
My sleeve is rolled up. Just give it to me. I don't want to get Zika virus. But that's not enthusiasm, exactly.
On primary day in California, Sanders took 221 delegates and Clinton took 254. Sanders eventually did help build that bridge that Jeff Merkley was talking about, and the nominees were set, Clinton versus Trump. Our election road trip continued to the conventions and to battleground states like Colorado just a couple weeks ago. And tomorrow, after all those miles and hours and more, we'll finally see exactly where this road trip has brought us.